We're back here on the Bullhawk Sports Show. We finished episode 41, and this is a bonus episode that will focus exclusively on soccer. So, no basketball. Thank goodness I'm getting tired of basketball. And this is going to focus exclusively on soccer. Specifically, the NWSL, the MLS, and the Premier League. And the NWSL season, as you know, ended with the Challenge Cup. The Houston Dash defeated the Chicago Red Stars in the final in Utah. And now the regular season's getting back in full swing with the first official match of the 2020-2021 NWSL season was today between the Washington Spirit and the Sky Blue. And the Spirit were the second seed of the Challenge Cup. They went home earlier than most expected. And the Sky Blue made it probably, honestly, farther than most people would have expected of them. And DJ Benny Bull, welcome. Good afternoon. And do you want to give your thoughts on the match between the Spirit and Sky Blue?
Good afternoon. Yes, CJ. It's DJ by the Ball here. And yeah, welcome to the new season, if you will. And just a quick note that this doesn't really entail a full-on regular season. I guess this is the best that there is. This might or might not count towards, like a regular season. So this is more so, a game or two a week in a series that will last about just over a month.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, this is the closest to it with this NWSL fall series. And so yeah, today, first game of the fall series, the fall series opener between the Spirit and the Sky Blue, and both DC and New Jersey going at it, a rival from the Northeast pod, which includes the Chicago Red Stars, which we'll see them action next week. More on them a little bit later. And originally, a schedule was released, and that featured only a set number of games that was about, let's say, about 5 to 10 games. The fall series schedule was a day later. A full schedule was released, and so we'll get into that in a little bit. Let's go over the game that happened today. Led by Andy Sullivan and Roosevelt. Now without Rose, since she is on technically loan, she is signed, to both loan and to belongs to Manchester City now, the WSL. So with her doing that, we're definitely missing a midfielder, and she actually was noted that she desired to play more than 4 games, so she knew about this plan, and she also, at the same time, wants to get Champions League experience. So that shows the competitive nature that is in the Spirit. And Andy Selva, of course, still recovering from MCL surgery and approaching the fall season. To look for development, evaluation for young players, such as the midfield duo Dorian Bailey and Bailey Feist, to showcase themselves during the Challenge Cup. And Spirit head coach Richie Burt said that there is an ideal for managers like me to do an assessment, an overview, complete rundown, evaluate where players are this year, and looking for the fall series for bigger roles, include forward Kumi, Yokoyama and Ashley Sanchez, who will take the lead during this, as we're without the two mentioned earlier, who can continue quality service to forward Ashley Hatch, who also showcased well in the Challenge Cup, and also keep an eye for performances from rookies Avery Collins and Natalie Jacobs, as well as Katie McClure, Corin Yu, to a spirit, newer players. And, you know, of course, they also missed Elizabeth Eddy, Naomi Kawasumi, and Evelyn Viens, who all are now on loan. And this lineup shuffling from Coach Coombe, one of the few female coaches in the whole league, has to deal with ahead of today's game. And so, yeah, amazing this game opener on CBS. So only the third game overall to ever be broadcast on CBS. So there's more to come. And let's go over the game. So, Washington Spirit playing at home at Sagra Field, Leesburg, beats Virginia. And so, I noticed the difference here that the crowd noise was not quite as raucous as during the Challenge Cup. There was some drumming, there was some basically like supporter circles, supporter section with that noise made a few times, so you can still hear players shouting out on the pitch. So that was intriguing. And so Sky Blue, as I predicted, they played well, and Spirit definitely a dark horse during the cup, and they didn't look too bad either. In this matchup, Sky Blue FC, they earned the first overall Fall Series victory. And Afioma Anumani scored the first, and then Midge Purse scored in the win for Sky Blue. And what is shown, this is actually Anumanu's first goal ever for Sky Blue. And interesting, this is the first ever defeat since October 2016, when these two teams faced one another. And this game, it featured the debut, highly anticipated first appearance since she missed the Challenge Cup due to injury, and she couldn't get back to training in time in U.S. Women's National Team player Mallory Pugh. One of the young cats, still, only 22 years old, and so a bright future on U.S. Nationals, and as well on her new squad, Sky Blue. Originally, she was in negotiations, as is well known now, with Portland Thorns FC, though her first team she ended up with was actually the Washington Spirit, so her old team, she knows half the players that are on the field, and so it's kind of weird, surreal being in that environment once again. And so Sky Blue defeating the Spirit 2-1. I will say Paige Nielsen, she scored the Spirit's lone goal, and this was from a very shocking position, as this was in a penalty shot. Didn't see one happening this early on. So it was good to see some goals, and I'm sure many experts will agree that, and they've been clamoring for just during the tournament last time, that they wanted to see goals, and so there's one early on, and it's almost like one in the beginning, middle, and end. So good efforts, and of course we saw Kaylin Sheridan, who is just a master out there earning golden gloves last time, one of the best goalkeepers in the league, And so it was a good opportunity. I'd say Paige Nielsen, that was a very, very calculated call that was carefully done to help their cause. And so I'd like to name the starting 11 before we're done.
Can I do the Spirit starting 11?
Yes. So first we have Sky Blue FC. We had goalkeeper number 1, Kalen Sheridan. Next, defender 28, Imani Michelle Dorsey. Defender number 22, Mandy Freeman. Defender number 12, Tina Lauren Lewandowski. Defender number 15, Sabrina Flores. Defensive midfielder number 17, Dominique Richardson. Defensive midfielder number 16, Captain Sarah Waldmo. Attacking midfielder number 23, Margaret Midge Hurst. Attacking midfielder number 6, Jennifer Cujo. Attacking midfielder number 4, Paige Monaghan. And striker number 25, Ifeoma Anumanu. And subs as surprised that she was a sub. Subs as of for today, of note, Nicole Baxter, Megan Hens, and Mallory Pugh, and their manager, Fry Kuhn.
So now the starting 11 for the Washington Spirit. And also, this is Washington, D.C., not Washington State, in case you need to know that.
I thought you said Western for a second.
No. So, and number 1, the goalie, Audrey Bledsoe. Number 4, Natalie Jacobs, defender. Number 3, Samantha Staub, defender. Number 14, Paige Kathleen Nielsen, defender. Number 5, defender, Brooke Tatum Hendricks. And number 19, defensive midfielder, Dorian Bailey. Number 8, defensive midfielder, Maggie Dautry Howard. Number 2, Ashley Nicole Sanchez, attacking midfielder. Attacking midfielder number 13, Bailey Elizabeth Feist. Attacking midfielder number 17, Kumi Yokokama. And finally, one of my favorites in the National Women's Soccer League, Ashley Hatch, number 33, striker. And then off the bench, the substitutes, Jay Bosri, Avery Collins, Devon Kerr, Katie McClure, Megan McCool, Jesse Scarpa, and Crystal Elaine Thomas, coached by Richie Burke.
And number 2, Ashley Sanchez, from the tournament, named Future Legend. So very prestigious title, and so I'm a little added pressure going into this. It won't be, as we know right now, won't be played for a trophy, although it's for a very good cause, as revealed today during the game. It'll go for community efforts. More details on that later. And so yeah, this went on. There was no disciplinary cards given out. Besides, well, we know. Let's backtrack for a second.
We had a yellow card.
There was a yellow card by Spirit, by Brooke Hendricks.
Yeah, Brooke Tatum.
Yeah. And there was, you know, some free kicks right here that, now it's becoming more of a theme right here that we usually don't see. And so later down the game to the second half, Mallory Pugh came in finally and making her debut. And she actually had a very close goal that hit the post. I thought that was really cool early on, just like 2 minutes in or so. And so, yeah, the match, very good. It definitely flowed. while it wasn't somber like some would be. Yeah, definitely moved the ball well. Sky Blue continuing their, being underdogs, definitely not set to win. Spirit, of course, the betting is for them having the home field advantage. So Sky Blue proving them wrong and taking the victory today 2-1, as I predicted. It would be at least a 2-point game for the Sky Blue winning.
I thought the Spirit win, so I guess you defeated me.
No formal picks though.
No.
I guess in our heads we have that. We'll put that out there.
I think we should in the future. We should do that.
Right. Yeah. The goal, no pun intended, of us to have this actually released on Friday. So we had a lot to do. So yeah, we're into this game by the time you listen to this. So just quick stats. We have passing accuracy 86.1%, 85.8%. Spirit just having the edge on that. And then Sky Blue winning the possession percentage at 50.1%. And then of course 49.9% for the Spirit. For corners, Sky Blue had quite a few, 6, and then Spirit having 3 shots on goal, 6 by the Sky Blue and 4 by Spirit. Overall shot 16 Sky Blue, and with Spirit 10. So I would say a very good start to it. I thought for a second it would be 1-1, maybe scoreless for the first half. I'm definitely surprised. I will say during the beginning that some reason, I guess it was, originally, there's not going to be anything with college football being in Loom for now. Like, it's on CBS. First minute or so, we're ready to get ready for the NWSL, and then the NFL was being shown on CBS 2, a classic game. I believe I saw Patrick Mahomes out there. And so, yeah, CBS having an error right there. And I did see some tweets that were very much concerning. They were definitely angry at that, soccer fans. It was fixed within, 3 minutes or so. So too bad we didn't see that cold opening. I was looking forward to seeing something like that. It didn't cut in in between. It started right when they were ready to kick off. So yeah, came back from that, and so that is the first match. And we any final thoughts on the first game?
My final thought is I want to give credit to Sky Blue. One of their players, Margaret Perch, she had a game-winning goal, and she also had
Mitch.
five shots, so she was very active on the field.
Yes, she is definitely another future legend, current legend, if you will. Still looking to, as announcers will also say from time to time, just having Mal Pugh fit in. From what I got, sounds like Mallory and Mitch have been practicing, being a good pair, being smooth out there as a duo. As you see with different teams, so yeah, they're finding well with that. So yeah, Mitch, definitely what we saw in assists in the game between them too, so it was well done. So next we have your official preview for the series. So like I said, originally tentative schedule was released for a few games, and then a day later they opened up the full schedule, which still includes regional pods to limit the travel, and so 18 matches overall. And so here we go. Here's the schedule for the end of USL Fall Series. We have from today, September 5th, Spirit, the Sky Blue. That's good. And then we have the next game next Friday, September the 11th, prime time, 7 p.m. at Sounds Stadium, North Carolina Courage versus the champions, Houston Dash. And that will be airing on Twitch. And if you're wondering, oh, Challenge Cup, it didn't air for us at the U.S. There's no games on there. No fear. There will be games available on Twitch whenever it's a game exclusively on Twitch. It will be available for U.S. and Canada viewers as well. And then all games, of course, will continue to be Twitch for international viewers. So that won't be exclusive to Amazon's platform, Twitch. And then the day later, Saturday, September 12th, at noon, at Sabre Field, once again, we are away. Washington Spirit face off against our very own Chicago Red Stars on Twitch as well. And later that day, 3:30, actually backtrack that. Yeah, still prime time. The first game, and then Red Star Spirit will be at 11 a.m. Local time here in Chicago. And then 2:30, Providence Park. Looking forward to this one. Portland Thorns FC versus the OL Reign. And that will be on CBS as well as CBS All Access for you mobile fans. Saturday, September 19th. It continues at noon, Solon Stadium, NC Courage versus the return of the Orlando Pride. Will we see Marta, Alex Morgan, Sydney Leroux? We'll find out. And that will be on CBS and CBS All Access. And then September 20th, Sunday, we have two games, and we are back home. I saw the Red Stars posting that they are back. They're training at Dakota Park, CBE Stadium. So this game, yeah, will be at Dakota Park. Chicago Red Stars versus Sky Blue FC, exclusively at CBS All Access. And the second one will be at 2 p.m. at Providence Park, Portland Thorns versus Utah Royals FC on Twitch. September 26th, the week after Saturday at noon, we're back home at SeatGeek. Toyota Park, Chicago Red Stars versus Washington Spirit on CBS and CBS All Access. Then we have two more games that they actually snack lineup. 2:30, Rio Tinto Stadium, back in the bubble. Utah Rose FC versus OL Reign on CBS All Access only. And the last one, 7:30 at BBVA Stadium, Houston Dash versus the Orlando Pride on Twitch. And we're into the next month with a few. And October 3rd, Saturday, 11:30, we have Montclair State venue, Sky Blue FC versus Washington Spirit on Twitch. And later that day, a late game, 9 p.m. at Rio Tinto, Utah Royals FC versus Portland Thorns FC and that one will be on the CBS Sports Network. Then the day after Sunday, the 4th, at 6 p.m., BBB again, BA Stadium, Houston Dash versus North Carolina Courage on Twitch. October 9th, 4 p.m., Osceola County Stadium, Orlando Pride come back to face the champions, Houston Dash, on CBS Sports Network. Then we have the last couple of weeks, Saturday, October 10th at 11:30 a.m., Montclair State, Skyblue FC versus Chicago Red Stars on CBS All Access. Then later that night, in primetime, 7, Cheney Stadium, OL Reign take on the Portland Thorns FC on Twitch. Then October 17th, the last week, on Saturday, we have 2 doubleheader at 3 p.m. at Exploria Stadium. There are a lot of Orlando Pride come home to face the North Carolina Courage on CBS and All Access. And primetime, 7, Cheney Stadium, we have OL Reign versus Utah Rose FC exclusively on CBS All Access. And that is your schedule for the fall series. And I'm interested to see if this will count towards the regular season. We will see. And I'm excited for, you know, all that we have so far. I'm grateful that we have more. Soccer on the women's side, being able to showcase them on a wide platform, having more games on CBS, and that comes with what is being known as many games on Saturdays, call it the NWSL Game of the Week, and we have very talented broadcasters, broadcast talent. Jen Hildreth and Lori Lindsay will continue to be the ones who call the games on CBS and CBS Sports Network, and then Mike Watts and Lori Lindsay to call all games on All Access. So, there. I do like that they're taking small steps, limiting exposure, limiting travel for having the pods, and that's the best way to kind of do things in phases, and I guess learning from MLS, as they had, they didn't do so well during the MLS back tournament, despite being in a bubble. So definitely being cautious, and definitely highly respect that. So now let's reveal what the NWSL players are playing for. And so it's been announced by the media staff that Verizon and NWSL launched the title Verizon Community Shield. So they'll be playing to win the Community Shield. So what does that exactly mean? And as promised, this is supporting local. So the clubs will play for small businesses or organizations in their community during this fall series. So specifics on this is that the team with the most points at the end of the fall series will be awarded the Verizon Community Shield and the opportunity to present a grant of $25,000 to their community partner made possible by Verizon. $15,000 and $10,000 will be presented to the second and third place teams respectively. So not too far off, very good prizes. And I'm excited that there will be like a second and third place team, so we're able to showcase, you know, the best, you know, and it's going to be close, as again, you know, seeding won't exactly matter, you know, there's not a tournament, so less pressure as I was thinking about this during, the game today. So, you know, no one's going to want to go out and, you know, actually break a leg, you know. So it's still going to play hard, of course, just as we've seen with playoffs in basketball. So So yeah, very creative, and I did hear that more sponsors want to come in for it and more interest in the league as they have earned being the first team sports league back since the pandemic began. So very exciting, and
I think we have to wrap it up.
That is what I have for you all so far. And yeah, that does it for the end of this preview. And yeah, stay tuned for more news and previews for upcoming games that will actually happen for MLS tonight. And of course, Premier League, their next season with CJ Hawk.
Hey friends, we're back here on the Bull and Hawk Sports Show. We spent around the first 30 minutes or so talking about the previewing of the NWSL Fall Series. And like we mentioned, it focused on the different regional hubs for the 9 teams in the NWSL. Now, DJ Benny the Bull has been waiting for a couple days, at least a week, to do a explosive rant involving a former owner of the NWSL, Utah Royals, and the MLS, Salt Lake City, whatever they are. And he's excited to give his rant on the owner. What's his name again? Hansen, what's the first name? Delroy Hansen.
We'll be focusing on for the next 5 minutes or so. So, yes, Mr. Hansen, I have sources through The Athletic as well as The Inquirer, very trusted sources, Philly Inquirer. And first off, let's just say what a total dummy he is, and for many years, this is the way that he actually handled it, especially coming from the recent Mount Cup, the National Hockey League game, the bubble, Utah playing the host city, the host state for it, if you will. And we never knew that the owner of the Royals SB, as well as Real Salt Lake, the MLS, is such a bad person, let's just be honest. And so after all this behavior, which was playing a second piece, has decided to sell Dr. Holdings after revelation of racist behavior. So indeed he is believed to be a racist. And not only that, there's some more details on other things too, but it's been, he's part of the revolving for the growth for Utah and the country, making it a popular sport, for soccer, and he spent well north of $100 million since joining Real Salt Lake in 2009 as a minority owner, and he built training facilities in Salt Lake Valley in world class. Formulated bottom-up model, evolution of soccer players, and all that. Bought into National Messiah League, didn't need a savior, and often bombastic. He was obsessed with that. So that's fun to be athletic. And his legacy in soccer will not play out the way you envisioned for the last decade. And that's due to his reputation of racist and inappropriate behavior as team owner. He's moving on for good. After 7.5 years in charge of RSL's massive soccer umbrella of the latter teams I mentioned, he announced that he's starting to sell the entity that owns all three clubs. And many would say this is a good move. I still feel like it's kind of cowardly, you know, once he finally was scrutinized, like a better chance, that he finally gave in and is going to go. And so MLS basically continues working with Mr. Hansen in for the scout effort, and clubs executive staff support the operations during this transition period through Commissioner Don Ferber, which gave that statement we mentioned last episode that Pate kind of, I guess, said good about him first. Though, of course, you know that he's kind of a, if you will. And, so MLS, Board of Governors, they have the ability to terminate ownership of the vote, which requires 75% of the overall vote to expel him from his role as owner of RSL. NWSL actually released a statement later last Sunday saying contributions to the league's growth and continued development of soccer are notable, but we agree that the decision is the right one for the future of the Royals. And Hansen, he actually gave an open letter to the fan base on Sunday morning. He said, in brief, "I recognize that at times I've spoken too quickly, without pausing to consider the good feelings or good intentions of others. It is not acceptable, and I assume no responsibility for it, allowing my words to travel unfiltered as to bear the consistent impact. I believe that communities are strengthened by diversity. I am truly sorry for offending and being insensitive to the plight of others. I seek to be better and commit to supporting and improving diversity and inclusion in my own community going forward." And it does say that he has deep consideration and soul searching with wife and Julie. Agree the best way forward is to the real Salt Lake family assume new ownership and a fresh vision. So at least he says that he wants this to be a new, under a new vision and a better club within as we know that RSL and World are all within a club affiliated. So it's all under him, which is very unfortunate for I guess you say these last 2 years or so that he made such horrendous comments, you know, to others. And so this as club president will be no more. And basically, we would love to see RSL be successful, according to the book. Want to help wherever help may be needed right now. And that's going to be Larry H. Miller, who's, helping with this as well. He said, "We have retained independent outside counsel from Rachel Evelyn at Evelyn Law PC to conduct the investigation and will figure out timelines for outcome." So this is a really serious topic for both parties. And so Ender herself made that and also said that shocking and run counter to everything Ender herself stands for. And here's where it gets interesting, definitely speaking out, being right, to the right thing to do Saturday night. The black players of the NWSL issued a statement on social media, which I got to see live, and on that day that their concerns when leaders within the league did not understand or accept players' right to protest, that includes Noah Hansen's comments, are disgraceful. And we stand with the Utah Royals, New Salt Lake, and Rio Monarchs players as they move to suspend and investigate Del Noy. Statement reads, "Black players of the NFL also specifically highlighted Royals rookie Sierra King's willingness to speak publicly about her team's honors and comments." And the longstanding racist behavior by him original player for RSL, Andy Williams, versus Dean Huskett. Recent season, he saw these things happen. Blatant racist footmarks, freezing in casual centers, and Anson was introduced to the star midfielder the next day. He even choked to say he needed to lynch Acosta. Talking about Kellen Acosta from the academy team in 2016. He also dropped the N-word in casual team settings. Unbelievable. No excuse for that. And he also went on a local radio station. He owns to discuss RSL and LAFC, opting not to play Wednesday evening at Rio Tinto due to the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha. And he said this is what set everyone off, that he felt sexually betrayed by the players not playing in front of the estimated 5,000 fans. And it would affect how we would spend money on his roster going forward. Oh, what about that? Obviously, this enraged all RSL fans, and those who don't
with him over the years. And the flagship station attempted to walk back his comments, basically not agreeing with him. And Max Tuckle felt had they have heard enough and voiced their opinions. So this is what got that started, and I just hope that he is totally off the being an owner for any football club ever going forward, unless he finally really apologizes and can be fixed. It sounds like this has been going on for many years, and it's good to finally take the such negativity out of clubs in the U.S. And this will help to improve the culture in Utah and for the better. And so, yeah, thanks for listening to my rant on Hanson. And let's move on to some news coming up next.
Hey friends, we're here on the Bulldog Sports Show. We're reaching almost to the conclusion of this bonus episode. The next segment is going to focus on the Premier League, one of my favorite leagues. And I've decided to do a cool segment that I'll look at all 20 teams in the Premier League 2020-2021 season. And I'm going to give my standing predictions from number 1 to number 20. And some of these will be pretty set in stone, easier to gauge or predict. Some will be more of like shot in the dark, complete guesses, because they could change, who knows. But in my view, at least the top six is easier to predict. Like when you get to like 12 and beyond, it can be anyone's guess. So my prediction for number 1, I think that Man City will bounce back. And is it bias? Yes, it is my favorite team. There is bias. But I think that we're going to improve. I think that the team was already good last season. We did finish second in the Premier League. I think that Coach Guardiola will help the squad. And even though we do not have David Silva, we have brought in two good players with Nathan Aki and Fernando Torres. Torres from Spain, and Aki, who was on Bournemouth last season. And Aki is a good defenseman, and I'm excited to see what Fernando Torres can be. Some people are discussing that he could be a young David Silva. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. The man's not even 20 years old. But excited for Manchester City. And that's why I hope they can win the Premier League next or this season. Second, I have Liverpool. They won it all this season. Almost won it all the year before. Liverpool, led by Mo Salah, Jordan Henderson, great squad. I would not be shocked if they won it again, but I have them finishing second because it can be pretty difficult to win any league back-to-back. Manchester City did do it in 2017, 2018, and 2018, 2019. They won back-to-back years, but normally it's pretty hard. That's why I'm going with Liverpool to finish in second, and I think it'll be close. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a couple of points separating them in Manchester City. And third, I have Manchester United. I think that that team has improved. I like what I've been seeing from that team. I don't think they'll be that close to Manchester City or Liverpool in the standings, but if they were like less than 10 in points or maybe around there, I would not be shocked. That's why I have them in third. Fourth, I have Harry Kane. I think that having Jose Mourinho back as coach again, Harry Kane and Song, one of my favorite players, Davies, a number of the players, I think Tottenham will be better than last season when they finished in sixth. And a little bit about Tottenham, I watched the first episode of the All or Nothing documentary on the Tottenham Hotspurs a few days ago and really enjoyed it. So I think it would be cool to watch Tottenham this season. Fifth, I have Chelsea. I think that one could be, they could finish fourth or fifth easily. And I think Chelsea, with Christian Pulisic and a number of the other young guys they have, we'll see. I have them fifth because I'm not the biggest Willian fan, but he did leave Chelsea, so it does leave kind of a little bit of a hole. So without him, they might finish fifth instead of fourth, but I think it'll be close anyway. Six, I have DJ Benny Bull's squad, Arsenal. I think that they'll be better than last season where they struggled mightily and had fits during the season. But during the recent recently during the FA Cup games, they've looked a lot better. And they did sign Willian from Chelsea, so he got a new scorer to go along with Aubameyang and a number of their guys on Arsenal. So I have them finishing behind their hated rivals in sixth. And this is where it gets a little bit more difficult. A lot of these teams, they could finish here 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th easily. But we'll see. 7th, I have the Wolverhampton Wolves. I like the Wolves. I'm a fan of them. They're not the sexiest team, but with Jimenez, a number of other guys on the team, they're a team that plays hard. And definitely, I could see them finishing in the top half of the Premier League. So I have them, the Wolves, finishing in 7th place. Then in 8th, I have this one. I have with Leicester City. Last season, they finished better than 8th. I think they're going to take a little bit of a step back. Not a huge one. 8th, still a success to a end of a season in the Premier League in regards to champion league things. So I have Leicester in 8th. 9th, I have West Ham United. West Ham was probably my biggest surprise or most shocking one so far. West Ham finished very low last season. They almost got relegated to the championship, which is the league behind the Premier League. But West Ham played great at the end of the season. They played so well that they managed to escape relegation zone and stay in the Premier League. And I liked what I saw from them. So I'm going for more of an out-of-the-box and having the finishing in 9th. 10th, I have Sheffield United, who they played great in their first season in Premier League last year. I think I could easily see them around 10th. They did play amazingly well last year, which is it a mirage? Or will they continue to play that well? So I have them finishing in 10th, which is basically midpoint of the table. Because I don't think they'll finish 5th, like they played that well last season, but I don't think they'll finish 20th, so I have them in 10th. 11-5 Everton. They didn't impress me last season. I don't think they'll be that great, but I think they'll be good enough to not be relegated and better than some of the other teams. So I have them finishing in 11th. 12th, I have Newcastle, who weren't good last season. They had fits last season, just like Arsenal. They had games where they got totally destroyed and put to bed. Then games where they were able to fight it out and win 2-1, 1-0. But I don't think they'll be that great, so I have them in 12th. 13th, I have Burnley, who played pretty well last season. They did well. And for me personally, I don't know a lot about Burnley. This is harder for me to gauge predictions-wise where I think they're going to have them. So I'm going to have them in 13th, which I think is safe because I think they're good enough to stay in the Premier League. 14th, I have Southampton, who I think's a squad that will make it to stay in the Premier League. They're not going to impress me. I don't think they're going to be really sexy. I don't think they're going to be like world beaters winning the whole Premier League. But I think they're good enough to not be relegated. 15th, Brighton. That one I could see being relegated. They should be nervous or worried about their chances this season. But personally, I have them a little bit escaping relegation in 15th. 16th, this one is more as a fan. I don't want them to be relegated, which I have Fulham. I'm a big Fulham fan. I have them in 16th. Some of the experts have them finishing 19th, 20th. But as a fan, I don't want that to happen. So I'm having them finish in 16th. And to improve the team, we did sign a new goalie, actually. A new goalkeeper will be at Craven Cottage. And that is Areola, who's on loan from Paris Saint-Germain. So Neymar's squad, that goalie, he'll be on loan at Fulham, which is great because he had success at Real Madrid. He played at Real Madrid last year, playing in 9 matches. And this season, he went to France to join Paris Saint-Germain. And now he's going to Fulham on loan. So hopefully he can do some great things for the squad. Then 17th, I have Aston Villa, who last season played good at the end to escape relegation and stay in the Premier League. I think they'll have the same issues as last season on the bubble, teetering from Premier League staying to going to the Championship League. But I have them 17th, just escaping relegation. Then in 18th, Crystal Palace, I think their run of staying in the Premier League finally comes to a close. I like Wilfried Zaha. He's my favorite player on Crystal Palace. But they didn't play very well last season, and I don't think he'll be enough again to escape relegation with some of the teams that were abysmal no longer in the league. Like Bournemouth played bad. Huddersfield's gone. Teams of that sort who played Watford, who were autumn bottom dwellers. I think the league won't be as bad this season as it was the years past. So I think Crystal Palace is relegated. 19th. I have Leeds United. They're one that I could see maybe staying in the Premier League, passing some of these squads like Aston Villa, maybe Fulham, Crystal Palace. Right now I have them 19th. And the 20th, I have West Brom. Personally, that's more I don't know anything about West Brom, and I had to make a gut call, so that's why I have them finishing 20th. They could easily finish maybe 17th. It's hard to know, but currently, I have them 20, and most experts have them finishing 19th or 20th. So I don't think it's that much of a slight saying if someone says, how dare he have West Brom 20th. So that's why I'm going with them to finish the bottom and 20th. And those are my Premier League standing predictions. Like I said, predictions not set in stone. Don't call me at the end of the season and say, you idiot, you got it all wrong. It's more a shot in the dark. DJ Ben and Bull and I like to do predictions, just like speak our mind, give our opinions. That's the reason to have a podcast show. So that's my predictions.
We can talk whatever.
Yeah. And a little bit of...
Is nothing else?
Yeah, I was just going to mention the Premier League starting, like a teeny little bit of news on it. The Premier League is actually starting this weekend. And the first game of this weekend is Saturday, September 12th, 6:30 local time. That's going to be Arsenal Fulham at Craven Cottage, home of Fulham, against DJ Benedict's team Arsenal. So DJ Benedict and I, the game's at 6:30 a.m., which sucks, but I'm going to attempt to try to watch the game, which will be on NBCSN, I want to say. And I'm excited for Fulham, and DJ Benny Bull is definitely excited to see his Arsenal Gunners in action.
Yes. 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 Hopefully they'll put
the first two games on Peacock. Yeah, let me. Because I know that this season, last season they had it for free for a lot of the games, but this season, isn't there their Premier League Plus?
So, I don't believe they have a channel yet dedicated to it.
Yeah, because I think the Premier League, or not Premier League, the Peacock Plus, I think it's going to be an added fee, I want to say.
Could be.
Because Peacock's technically free, but I want to say that to watch certain things, you have to pay an added fee.
Right. I would say the free version is more than enough already, unless you have a specific
Yeah.
Sure. Right. Was that off you at?
Yeah, that's all I have for the Premier League.
Yeah.
And I'll definitely recap.
Before you recap this off, I have something.
Yeah, go ahead.
And if you are into fashion sense like Sterling, you will like I have the Premier League 2020 through 21 kit power rankings, which club tops the style table. And I'm only going to go over the top 10, just naming off which company they're with and the club. So we have at number 10, Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah.
Nike.
Spurs.
And so they show their home and away jerseys. I would say they look quite spectacular.
Yeah, I like their jerseys.
Right. And inspired by both Spurs away shirts and the Nike Classic and the Max 95 sneakers. Plain yellow football kit will go well with that footwear. Number 9. And they say the official colors are used are Legend Ink and Mystery Green. Number 8 with Adidas, Manchester United.
Yeah, theirs are good.
They have a third kit that David Beckham enlisted to unveil on his Instagram. It's in homage to the first time United wore stripes in 1910, the first season at Old Trafford, and being the world's most handsome footballer. He makes it look good, as they say, but the reception is mixed, however. Number 7, with Puma, Crystal Palace. Number 6, with Adidas, Wolverhampton Wanderers. And
yeah, those are fun.
With Under Armour, Southampton. Number 4 with Hummel, Everton. And Everton has a third one with mint and toffee combination.
I'm not a big fan of the Everton jerseys, but yeah, I like that color.
Yeah. Although you could easily be told he's thinking that this is just a Jordan Pickford goalkeeper jersey from last season.
That's true. He wears that.
And number 3 with Nike, Liverpool. That said, Jesus, Arsenal.
And number one, Manchester City.
Number one, the very obvious choice, and that is with Puma. And that is Manchester City, whom also have a third kit. And that is in part by ESPN saying, who doesn't love a bit of Paisley? City's trippy third shirt is a nod to Manchester's musical heritage from the 1960s all the way through Acid House, which I'm sure Chicagoans will know a little bit about since house music did originate here, and the Manchester scene to the Britpop and indie bands of 1990s, Manford! Exclamation.
I think they should have had West Ham in the top 10. I like the West Ham jerseys. But
that's further down.
That's my only gripe.
Report via Goal.com as well as Yahoo Eurosport UK that Liverpool must sign Bayern star Thiago to avoid Premier League drop-off. They warn Neville.
Well, I don't think it'll be a big drop-off. I mean, they could finish second instead of first, but that's not a huge drop-off, I don't think.
Yeah.
It's not like they'll finish 10th or something. Oh, they're...
Yeah, that's an hour ago, so.
Yeah. And one final thing to wrap it up on the Premier League talk is that I don't know if TG Benny Bull knows, but as of yesterday, breaking news, Kevin De Bruyne, one of my favorite players in the whole world, I said the world, was named the player of the year.
Oh, all right.
So he was named the Premier League player of the year. So, he beat out Jordan Henderson, and he also beat out Raheem Sterling.
Yes, and he is part of Man City, yet he is of Belgian descent.
Yeah.
Get a little bit into later on. Yeah, so the official name being the PFA Player of the Season Award.
Yep.
So congratulations to Kevin De Bruyne. He's definitely been
well deserved.
Someone we've loved talking about along with Man City throughout this journey for Premier League this year.
We're back here on the Bullknock Sports Show. We reached the final segment of this bonus soccer-heavy and completely oriented episode. And we started with the NWSL preview, and rightfully so, we're going to end with the NWSL final comments and news. And the first article that I want to discuss, I found this one less than 5 minutes ago, but it happens to be a very exciting one. And that is Houston Dash announced roster ahead of the 2020 Verizon NWSL Community Shield. And like we said earlier, the Community Shield is part of the NWSL Fall Series. So these games happening. So the Dash, they needed the roster. So it's been completely set. And their first game is on Friday night when they take on the North Carolina Courage and Lynn Williams.
I remember in 2020.
They take on Lynn Williams in a match set to kick off at 6 p.m. Central Time.
Yes. And that game will be on Twitch.
Oh. Okay. And the Dash, to shore up their defense, have signed defender Lauren Silver to a short term deal. Silver joins Houston.
For a second, Lauren Barnes.
No, Silver.
Yes, I can confirm. Yes, 6 on Twitch.
Okay. So, Miss Silver.
That includes US viewers.
Miss Silver joins Houston as the club announces 23 player roster ahead of the 2020 NWSL Fall Series. Also, breaking news first reported by us. No, I'm just kidding. Forward Caleb McCoy has been removed from the 23 player roster after suffering a knee injury during training.
No fun at all.
And she underwent successful surgery last week and expected to make a full recovery.
Awesome.
And a little bit more about Lauren Silver. She joins Houston, adding extensive, and one more time, extensive international experience. A depth into the team. And interesting, the American-born Jamaican defender has been a member of the Jamaican's team and has scored 24 games and a goal scored since 2014. Most recently, Silver spent the 2019 season with the Norwegian side, Trondheim. Silver has also played in the French, Scottish, Swedish leagues. The 27-year-old started her pro career when the Dash signed her in 2015. She went on to spend 2015 with the Swedish team, Bollstans SK, earning 5 games. She also is a former Gator at the University of Florida. So now we're going to announce the official 23 player roster for the Houston Dash, which is my second favorite NWSL team out of the 9 teams. It's my second favorite. So the goalkeepers, we have Jane Campbell, who was excellent in the Challenge Cup.
Aye, aye, captain.
And backup goalies, Lindsay Harris and Amanda Dennis. Then defenders, Alyssa Chapman, Megan Oyster, who was recently onto the team, Lauren Silver, the brand new signing, Aaron Simone, Allie Priscock, and Katie Nodden, the former Chicago Red Star. Then midfielders, Shea Groom, who is excellent, Haley Hansen, Christine Naren, Sophie Schmidt, who had that great show in the NWSL Challenge Cup final against the Red Stars. She was great in that game. Bree Vasari, CC Kaiser, Christy Mewis, whose sister is now in the UK. Cammy Privet.
So she won't be playing against her sister.
No, she won't, because her sister's on the Courage, right?
Because this has been designed, because it's in the plan.
And finally, forwards, Megan Kelly, not the former Fox News host Megan Kelly, a different Megan Kelly. Katie Stengel, Nichelle Prince, who I'm a big fan of, Veronica Lasto, Jamiah Fields, and Bridget Andrzejewski. And finally, Dash head coach James Clarkson returns in his second year leading the club, who became the 4th all-time Dash head coach on December 11th. And in his first season under in helm, he took the team to the championship, which they won in the NWSL Challenge Cup final. And if you're wondering why the best player on the team, Rachel Daly, is not listed in the roster, do not fear, she was not injured. That's not why, or she's not opting out.
Not opting out.
The reason is that she's also on loan with the English club West Ham United for the remainder of the year. So she'll miss the 2020 Fall Series games.
And yeah, another reason is likely that I want to challenge myself and
sure.
Play more.
Yeah. And during the offseason, Houston acquired center backs Keenan Otten from the Red Stars and Wayne Oyster, who were both great defenders for the successful championship victory. And with 2019 MVP player and goalkeeper Jane Campbell holding it down on goal, Houston looked to be even better. And obviously, the best offensive midfielders are Christy Mewis, Brie Rissalli, Sophie Schmidt, Shea Groom, Michelle Prince, and Veronica Latsko. And I'm excited to see what the Dash can do against the North Carolina Dangerous Courage on Friday, September 11th at Wake Med Soccer Park. And then they'll...
Yes, they'll be away.
So that's at the Courage home field, right? And finally,
we know why.
the Houston is set to host the Courage and Orlando before they traveled one more time to Orlando. So they're only playing the Orlando Pride and North Carolina Courage.
Yeah, so all brand new matchups we have never seen, as opposed to with Chicago, as there was in the Northwest Pod was. They played before, which is Spirit and Sky Blue. So,
well, that's it for my Houston Dash coverage.
Roster reveal,
yes. And I think a goal for me is to try to get some Dash stuff in at least every NWSL part we do.
Indeed,
because DJ Benny Bull likes to talk about the Portland Forns all the time, and I'm like, why can't I have a team too?
Yeah. you'll keep a watch on them too. Hey, I got some more cool news here, and for Dash Fan to cap this off, that Sport Houston as a club. Texas Sports Nation, according to them, Glenn Ahill reports that Dynamo Dash Games to allow limited fans at BBVA Stadium.
Oh.
So very exciting news for Houston. And upcoming, those games will be open to a limited number of fans. Announced today. And reopening plan up to 3,000 fans, so that is 13.6% of stadiums of this capacity, and will be allowed during phase 2 of the MLS schedule, which is expected to be announced later this week. And so, this first open Dash game we'll likely see fans is against the Pride on September 26th. So look out for that. Should be more raucous. And previously reported, Dash and Dynamo season ticket holders will have first access to tickets for each team's respective matches. So those who live there and are diehard Dash and Dynamo fans will get first access on Thursday. And there's definitely a guide for all for that are going to attend, accommodate attendees. HoustonDynamo.com/state. So, no worry. All the info's there. And this is a big jump, as we saw, actually, I report for Orlando, that for the MLS, Orlando City, they allowed fans during the Orlando City FC game versus Atlanta United. So, as of the 19th of August, the city announced that they allow limited number of fans at home. So, Exploria Stadium, they are admitting a certain number of fans, so 30% capacity as of that day. And looks like the rules being masked on all the time, except when people do their drinks. Temperature checks before entry and must be socially distanced from anyone outside of their party. And sessions will actually be open. So, that, yeah, that gives a good idea for any other venue that wants to reopen. And cashless for transactions to limited physical contact. They'll also have the option to order food and drinks from their seats via the Teams app. And so, yeah, that's definitely a good blueprint for any other squad clubs. So, yeah, that's all approved through the local officials. And so...
Did you buy me tickets?
One day. And you do the same over here.
Oh, did you hear about Christine Press?
Yes, we'll reflect on that.
Yeah.
In a little bit. But as we're on the topic of Orlando, just a brief overview. More so a mention for Saturday's matchup against Atlanta United. As full-time Orlando FC defeated the United, and Nani, Mueller, and Urso each netted a goal for OCFC, and then defeating them while Brooks Lennon of United ATL scored the long goal at the 83rd minute mark. This one was not as exciting, especially when you have some of the best in, obviously, Josef still being out, as well as Pity, very limited, you know, being out there, probably one of the last times we'll see him, and Ezequiel Barco on the bench. He subbed in later on, and so I believe that's a big reason United was without, you know, that power. A lot of yellow cards, and especially issued to Orlando City. So, yeah, rough one for Atlanta. So that was on Saturday.
Oh, Atlanta lost today too, by the way. They lost to Inter Miami, which is not good enough, because Inter Miami is complete crap. They're last in the standings. How can they lose to Miami?
Incredible.
Maybe it was rigged.
Incredible.
Nah, just kidding, it wasn't rigged. But they lost.
UEFA Nations League, which features all the basically the European League's national teams, national clubs, all in within basically like a round robin tournament. And match day one, there's two games that are on TV. And on ABC, basically, the feeling was that college football not being on quite yet, especially being on network, they filled in the gap with these games. And so first came the England versus Iceland, and both getting a rough game, red card. And England took the victory 1-0. That one happened first, and then later that afternoon, from 1:30 all the way to 4:30, we had Portugal versus Croatia, and Portugal took the game with 4-1, and so that's one we'll focus on for a second. This is part of Group C, and Bruno Petkovic was a sole goal for Croatia, and then we had João Cancelo, Diogo Jota, João Felix, and André Silva Also, Silva was in the extra 4 minutes stoppage time, score for Portugal. And if you're wondering if Ronaldo played, he did not actually. So that's the reason why I didn't notice him. And so this one was, he wasn't even under the sub, he wasn't available. So that was quite disappointing. So we'll keep an eye on that. And I actually didn't get the opportunity to watch the Super League, WSL, live. So we'll definitely give a rundown for that in the next episode.
Yes, I apologize. I remember you talking about it. I was like, oh, I'll pay attention. And one time I woke up, the game was already over.
Get up extra early, yes.
It was like already over. I was like, oh, shoot.
Yeah, it was a good way to, I mean, it's history making. NBC and CBS, two of the networks that are carrying big, big women's soccer. The first time ever, so yeah, there's definitely Saturday was a big day for football, soccer fans. Speaking of big days, we have a couple more news bits, and that is on CJ Waiting with Bated Breath. And we can confirm that it is official, according to Philly Inquirer and ESPN, on a soccer transfer story that features U.S. Women's National Team World Cup winners, Tobin Heath of the Portland Thorns, SC, and Kristen Press of the Utah Royals, FC, have signed with the Manchester United, yes, you heard that right, two-time World Cup champs. Heath and Press, who are best friends, are on one-year deals, as the club announced today. Big rumors have occurred the last week or so, and now it's real, and we're talking one of the best attacking wingers in the East, one of the most skilled players, I'll say this, for in the entire world, and along with the Storms, one of the number of U.S. players to come to the Women's Super League in England this season. And the Press with the Royals since 2018. She's had 58 goals, 138 caps. So definitely a young vet, if you will. And so she said that Manchester United is an exceptional club, and I'm thrilled to be joining them. I'm looking forward to the challenge of competing in England, playing this with and against some of the best players in the world. I have big ambitions for this season. I can't wait to get on the pitch with my new team and start this next chapter. Press added, I'm really excited to be joining Manchester United this season. I'm grateful to have the opportunity to play for such an elite club and be ready to give back on the field. I feel blessed to have the opportunity to continue to strive to be my best and to compete for trophies this year. I look forward to this new challenge and I can't wait training with the team. And as aforementioned on, we've already reported on Mewis, Samuels, that is Lavelle, and Dash Captain Daly being in Europe as well. Of course, like we said, Daly with West Ham on loan until the start of 2021. And he's no stranger to European football, as she's had two with France, with, you guessed it, Paris Saint-Germain in 2013 and 14, and of course with 168 international caps, and was shortlisted for 2019 Ballon d'Or. And United head coach Casey Stoney had to say that we are all excited to have Tobin join the club. She is an outstanding player who brings a wealth of experience to the squad. So from what it sounded like, again, sounds like Man United Women's Club is full of youth. Sounds like it's a young team.
And so, yeah, Tobin, Tobes, whatever you want to call her, she definitely brings a whole boatload of experience. And not only here, domestically, but internationally as well. So, what better to have one of the best players in the world there? I just hope that it reinvigorates someone like her, you know, coming back. I know she missed Challenge Cup and all, and I hope that she will be able to play back again sometime next year. And went on to say, Coach, she is extremely skillful, possesses so much quality on the ball, speed, intelligence in one versus one situation, and that is what she's known best for, those tricks, and will be a real asset that will push the team forward this season. And I can't wait to see her make her mark on the league. And then Stoney, coach added, on Press's arrival, Kristen is a world-class player, and we're thrilled to have her on board at the club. She has a proven record, and her stats speak for themselves. She's a ruthless striker who scores so many different types of goals, and I know she can add some real quality to her squad. And he didn't mention about her speed as well. Well, you'll see that if you check her out in Man United. I'm talking to you, European fans. And so, yes, the WSL. And last, Kristen, who's also hugely experienced. And for me, it's fantastic to add another senior figure like her in the dressing room. And so that is on the newly added Man United players in USWNT's Keith and Press. And last, we have a very shocking, more so breaking news. And as of today, history, a trailblazing player is to be had with none other than the veteran from the Chicago Red Stars. And this made headlines with ESPN, among many others. And that is Japan national team player and Chicago Red Star Yuki Nagasato makes history with loan to Hayabusa 11. And for those not familiar, I have more details for you, as this is historic. So forward, Yuki, she's heading back to Japan, and basically she's making homecoming. That's she'll be going back to make that history as the first woman playing professionally for Hayabusa 11, and amateur men's club as part of the Kanagawa Prefecture League, so KPL. She'll be joining a men's club, which is very few, far between. And of course, a reminder, if you're not too familiar about Nagasato, I know she didn't get to play much during the latter part of the later parts of the Challenge Cup tournament. Although, again, I will say that I will complain. I kind of felt like in the beginning, too, like she wasn't utilized correctly. And so, you know, that could be a reason why she wanted to go away for a little bit. I would not blame for that. And Nagasato, she arrived in Chicago in 2017. She's a 2011 World Cup champion, has made 52 NWSL appearances for the Red Stars, and I'm thinking that number is even more. It goes even longer. So, again, it's not, you know, they don't play as much as MLS from what it's been. And so, yeah, that's still a lot. And so the veteran, Nagasato, set a banner year in Chicago in 2019, and with 8 goals. She's also an assist machine, as she finished as the league's 8th highest scorer, and she's led the league. She actually leads the league in assists with 8.
So Nagasato, she's on loan. Her loan ends prior to the 2021 NWSL preseason, which, as per usual for now, is projected for April. So we'll be seeing her sometime soon. And somehow, at least, I'd like to see at least one game of her in the Kanagawa Perpetual League. See how that is. I wonder if any of the other clubs will feature any other female players. That'd be very interesting, because let's be real honest, like, you don't see much of anywhere having like Rivetta to like a co-ed soccer matchup or matchups. So yes. Again, another Red Star making the news, and definitely, this will definitely get the name out there. I'm sure anywhere she goes, still, you know, once a Red Star, always a Red Star, she will be back. And if you're wondering, what about Chicago? What about their teams? Has yet to be announced. We'll be doing that on episode 42. There has been a couple interviews going around, gearing up to it. We'll probably discuss it 42 as well. And just first, just a reminder that the Red Stars will be playing on CBS on Saturday the 20th. And their first matchup, actually not on CBS, they will be, let's see, they'll be on Twitch as well, I believe. Because their first one is not until the 26th. Although they will be on Twitch as the first game of the day on Sunday, this Sunday actually. Let's see, hold up. Give me a second. Yeah. No, this Saturday. So on Saturday, first game on Saturday against Washington Spirit at 11 a.m. Chicago time on Twitch. As we mentioned before, the Portland Thorns, they'll actually be headlining the day as the match, NWSL match of the week, as they will be playing at 2:30 in the afternoon on CBS against the OL Reign. So a late game, first in this tournament, though. Friday, it will be the first games of the week. In prime time at 6 on Twitch. So, excited for that. Tuning in. Definitely gonna do my best to tune in to that game with Courage and Dash. It should be explosive. And that is a term that I believe fittingly goes with a matchup of that caliber.
Well, great job on this bonus episode, Gigi of Batting the Bowl. Greatly enjoyed listening to your coverage of the NWSL, the Premier League, and a little bit of international soccer added in as well. And this wraps up this bonus episode here on Wednesday night. So stay tuned for this release of this episode and the release of episode 42. Which should be released by Friday or Saturday, depending on scheduling, but probably Friday. And enjoy the rest of your week. Thanks so much for being fans of the Bulldog Sports Show. We love all of your input, and stay safe during these hard times.
Have a spectacular rest of the week. I know it's kind of grim. It's been cloudy days. That's what's going on. On the West Coast, everyone.
Yeah.
Just appreciate the support.